Ogden Nash. Ogden Nash, he's a poet. He's a dead poet. He's a poet, and he wrote a poem about a father, when a mother puts a father in charge of a birthday party. Ogden Nash, he wrote a poem about when a mother puts a father in charge of a birthday party. May I join you in the doghouse, Rover? I wish to retire till the party's over. Since 3 o'clock, I have done my best to entertain each tiny guest. My conscience now I've left behind, and if they want me, let them find me. I blew their bubbles, I sailed their boats, I kept them from each other's throats. I told them tales of magic lands, I took them out to wash their hands. I sorted their shoes and tied their laces. I wiped their noses and dried their faces. Of similarities, there's lots, twixt tiny tots and hottentots. Shunned are the games a parent proposes. They prefer to squirt each other with hoses. Their playmates are their natural foemen, and they like to poke each other's abdomen. Their joy needs another's woes to cushion it. Say a puddle and someone littler to push in it. They observe with glee the ballistic results of ice cream with spoons for catapults, and inform the assembly with tears and glares that everyone's presents are better than theirs. Oh, little women and little men, someday I hope to love you again, but not until the party's over. So give me the key to the doghouse, Rover. Ode to a father whose mother made him in charge of the party. It's not that way, I'm sure, with mothers. They never, never would have felt that way. Well, how would Jesus feel? How would Jesus feel encountering children? Well, thankfully, we have a text that tells us, and I'd like you to turn there with us to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10. It's interesting that there are several encounters that Jesus has with children throughout the Gospels. He cast a demon out of a child. He raised a child from the dead. He used a child's meal to feed thousands. When he rode into Jerusalem, headed for the cross, it was children, the scripture says, that cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna, thou son of David." And in Mark chapter number 10, there's an encounter that I want us to think about and examine on this Mother's Day. Rather than talk directly about mothers, I want to talk a little bit this morning in an unusual way, and perhaps I will never do this again on Mother's Day. I want to talk about children. I don't want to give the impression I'm trying to avoid the joys and pains of Mother's Day or seeking to observe it or to avoid it. I want to encourage mothers. I want you to be blessed. I want women who want to be mothers but cannot to find grace. I want people like me who miss their mothers to find solace and comfort and peace in Christ. But I want to do all that by looking at children out of Mark chapter number 10. This is where we have arrived on our journey through the Gospel of Mark. And I thought it providential that on Mother's Day we would land on this text involving this story about children. Next Sunday is graduation Sunday, and we will be talking about this rich young ruler, this young man, whose trajectory of life is given as an example to all of us, but especially to young adults. So looking forward to that, if the Lord is willing. But children do have a lot to do with Mother's Day, I think. And we want to think about how we as a church can be a blessing to mothers by blessing their children. My wife has told me for all these years that we have been married that the best way to get on the side of a mother is be an encouragement to her child. The worst thing you can do for a mother is offend her child. Don't criticize a child to a mother. Don't poke a child in the nose in front of her mother. That's a bad thing to do. And so we want to think about how we as the church and families are not the same. The calling and purposes that a church has and the calling and purposes that families have, that mothers have, are unique and different, but yet they do overlap in some ways. And one of the ways in which they overlap is in the rearing of children. We want to be partners with parents, mothers, and rearing children. We want to be a source of encouragement and blessing in that endeavor. And so there are three simple principles out of this text that I want to lift up and give to you today. And I'm going to give those three to you, and then we'll come back and unpackage all three of them. Number one is Jesus cares about your children. That's the first principle out of Mark 10. Simple. Jesus cares about children. Jesus cares about your children. Number two is we, as the body of Christ, want to provide pathways to Jesus. The best thing that we can do, not the only thing, but the best thing that we can do as a body of believers is provide pathways for children to Jesus. And then the third principle is this: children have something to teach us. These five children that were up here this morning, they've got something to say to us. And we need to listen and hear what they have to say to us. Jesus, again, is on his way to Jerusalem. Mark's pace, if it could get any quicker, is just breathtaking as he carries us along in the story of Jesus and all these questions about who is Jesus, why has he come, what's he up to. Those questions just keep coming, and they continue to come at us throughout the rest of the book. And Mark keeps bringing us back to the identity and purposes of Jesus. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. It's in Jerusalem that he's going to be crucified. Jesus knows that. Jesus' face, the scripture says, set like a flint to go to Jerusalem. His disciples are going with him. They're still not completely clear on his identity or his purposes. Jesus' patience is extraordinary in dealing with the disciples. But like some of you, they're still asking questions about who is Jesus and why has he come. And Mark's purpose is to answer those questions. And he continues to answer those questions in his gospel. And so Jesus is going to Jerusalem. His disciples are going with him. Some of them still don't understand why he's going there, even though he has told them repeatedly he's going there to die. But don't fret. Following his death, he shall come back to life. They still do not quite get it. And as he is going along the way, as Mark describes for us, happens regularly in the life of Jesus, he is interrupted. Jesus is constantly interrupted. Do you like being interrupted? Do you like it? You want to be interrupted on your way to work by a flat tire? Do you see those as divine providences of God in your life? Do you like the interruption of the rain? Do you like the interruption your children bring to you? Mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, mommy, daddy, daddy, mommy. Do you like the interruption of sickness? Jesus was always being interrupted, and he seemed to demonstrate this extraordinary patience with these interruptions. And some of the greatest teachings and lessons that he gives to us comes from these interruptions. Who touched me? Remember that? And they say, well, who? What do you mean, who touched you? And finally, the woman comes and says, I touched you. Jesus was busy. He was headed to a place. Please, all of us need to look for God's providence in our lives and allow for his providential interruptions in our lives. This has always been interrupted, and he's interrupted again, and his disciples get touchy about it a little, and their minds protective about Jesus in it, and we'll see Jesus' response to them and Jesus' response to these folks that interrupt him. Look with me in the text, Mark 10, beginning in verse 13. And they, and regretfully the they is never identified, I think it is children, parents who are bringing their children. They were bringing children, and the parallel gospel accounts in both Matthew and Luke. Luke especially uses a little different word. I think it's small children, especially given what Jesus does with these children that are brought to him. And they were bringing, and the idea is they were constantly, they were really making an effort to get these children into the presence of Jesus, to him that he might touch them. Jesus saw what was happening, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw what was happening, I mean, he's on the center of this circle of things that is taking place, and he overhears and he oversees what's happening. He was orge. He was angry. My translation says indignant. And he says to the disciples, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them, referring back to the children, in his arms. You've seen the paintings. A lot of people painted this scene. And he blessed them. And he laid his hands on them. Principle number one is Jesus cares for your children, or if you'd like to put in grandchildren, or some of you'd like to put in great-grandchildren, or your nieces or your nephews. Jesus cares for them. These children's parents that are recorded here in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10, wanted what is best for their children. Most parents do. Not all. Obviously, there are exceptions. But most parents want what is best for their children. And these parents want this good thing. This good thing being a blessing. It's common. We don't use that verbiage much. We don't. But it was common in the Bible to think about a blessing them. We have, especially a father, physically touching them, laying their hands on them and blessing them. We have record of that happening in the book of Genesis, for example. It was a way of passing on the blessing of the father, sometimes a very tangible blessing. That 500 acres that I own that I got from my father, I'm going to give to you. That was the kind of blessing. It wasn't always property, though. It wasn't always money. Sometimes it was just a blessing of seeking God's greatness and goodness for your life. And while these parents, I don't know whether they knew clearly who Jesus was. They obviously had heard all these things about who he was and what he had done. And maybe out of that they were seeking him. But they wanted this blessing for their children. And I would encourage you to do the same. To seek for your children and your grandchildren God's rich blessing on their life. Pray for that. Seek that. Do what you can to see that brought into their lives. And our children's hard things. Children are brought to Jesus. What are children? It's a hard thing to figure out. I remember Blessing Hospital when our oldest was born, and I'm looking in the face of this baby, and I'm trying to figure out what is this? What do we do with this? I was terrified when the doctor said, "Okay, it's time for you to go home." I was like, "Well, Dr. Gallhofer, is your wife okay with you coming and living with us? You're surely not going to send us home with this child by ourselves. That's dangerous." Which it actually turned out to be for me in some ways. Our oldest son bears the scars of it. Children, the Bible says, are gifts from the Lord. Psalm 127, children are a gift from the Lord. They come to us from the Lord. I don't understand, why some of you want to have children and can't. I don't understand, but I don't understand why some people get cancer. And I don't understand why some people lose their jobs. And I don't understand why the rain keeps falling. I don't know. All I know is to cast myself on the grace of God and to live with the mystery. Job, live with the mystery. Ask the questions. Live with the mystery. But I do know that ultimately children, the Bible says, should be seen as this blessing. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Children aren't inconveniences, although they can be, but not ultimately. They're blessings, gifts given by God. The Gospel of John says, secondly, when a mother goes through this painful experience of having a baby, this painful experience of having a child, of going through the contractions and whatever else is involved, that to a degree that pain is forgotten and the joy of seeing that baby and that she has brought a human being into the world. What is that? A human being is a person who possesses the very image of God. That's what the Bible tells us. Intellect and emotion and will and something intangible, a love for that which is beautiful, a sense of justice, all those things that are gifts, that are part, that come to us because we're created. So she and Dad hold that little bundle of humanity and they look into that crinkly face, and they're not just looking into the face of a person, they're looking into the face of a person who's created to the very image of God. Don't, and this is splitting a theological hair, don't call your baby an angel because you're really being derogatory. Your baby is so much more than an angel. So much greater than an angel. Because they're created in the very image of God. It's amazing. But your baby's fallen. I wish it was some other way to say it. It's kind of icky to say it on Mother's Day. But it is the truth of the text. I mean, some people read Mark chapter number 10 and they say, well, we need to be like children are, and if we're innocent, we get into the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus is saying at all, because ultimately, children aren't innocent. And most parents that spend any degree of time with their children would tell you they're not innocent. That, you know, there's a naivety to children, sure. And sometimes there's this God-given sense of even purity that exudes from their life. But ultimately, they're marred and broken because they need Jesus and because sin has come into the world. And these children need Jesus. And think of all the things as a parent you get to introduce your child to. You get to introduce them to bananas, the taste of bananas. Think of that. Or ice cream. Do you remember the first time you gave your child a lick of peppermint ice cream? Butterflies and swimming. You remember teaching your child to swim or taking them to the pool to have somebody else teach your child to swim, or history. You get to introduce them to all these things, places and people and circumstances, and wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles. You get to introduce them to Jesus. Because your child begins to ask questions. They get about 4 or 5 and they start having this self-actualization, and they begin to wonder, where did I come from? Go ask your mom. Where did I come from? Why am I here? They may not say it quite that way, but they're asking these really big questions in life. I'm afraid of the dark. When they're asking those questions, you have the glorious, amazing, wonderful opportunity to introduce them to Jesus, to bring them to Him. And Jesus cares about them. Jesus was passionate. He loved the unlovable. He loved people. Jesus was a lover of our souls. And you have this glorious privilege of taking these children to Jesus who loves them. We know He loves them. Look at how upset Jesus gets, how furious Jesus gets. The word, do not water the word down. Orge is not a word that says Jesus was mildly irritated. That's not the word. It's a strong word. He was angry with his disciples. How dare you? How dare you let these children come to me? I love them. And Jesus loves children. He loves your children. And your children need to know Him and His redemptive grace and forgiveness and presence. And they need to know. And we want to join as partners with you to help your children to know, oh, how much God loves you. Second principle that I see out of this text is we need to be sure that there are pathways by which children get to Jesus. I never want to be said negatively. I never want to be, and I don't want our church to be, the disciples. I don't want to be in the way of people getting to Jesus. I don't want to hinder people from coming to Jesus. I don't want to block people from coming. The disciples loved Jesus. I think they really did, but they were failing in this point because there's this the imperfect tense. These parents are really trying hard. Use your imagination. Use your imagination. They can see Jesus. He's standing there. They got their child. They're trying to get there. And there's a big burly disciple saying, no, he's too busy. He's too significant. Children were kind of seen as unimportant. He's too important. It's too big a deal. He's on his way to Jerusalem. No. And Jesus is calling us to say, yes. And we want to provide pipeways, pipelines for you to bring your children to Jesus. We can't do what you're supposed to do. You're to bring your child up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's your job. But we're going to take seriously partnering with you to do that. Let me tell you some ways we're going to do that. And some ways that we are doing that. One, we hire staff. Jessica Berkey, we hired her and charged her. Jessica, you are the children's ministry coordinator. That's your job. We're going to pay you money, and you're going to give us your time and effort and gifts. And she's doing a fantastic job. You're going to do those things, and you're going to be a way of us partnering with these parents to provide a pipeline by which we can bring these children to encounter Jesus. We're not just simply trying to entertain your children. Quite frankly, your children kind of entertain us. We're trying to not just do that, we're trying to actually bring them into the presence of Jesus. We do it through programs, Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, Power Camp, Wednesday night, Sunday night, kids' church, all of these, we're laying pipe so your children can encounter Christ. We're seeking to encourage. Jessica's encouraging us to develop relationships with children, to get to know their names, to get to know them. Not just so they feel warm and fuzzy. We want them to feel warm and fuzzy. But ultimately, to provide a pipeline so they say, if the pastor knows my name, maybe Jesus knows my name. Think of all the volunteers that work on Wednesday night, I don't know, in children's ministry. It's our largest pool of volunteers. There's lots and lots of people that give their time and effort and energy so that children may know Christ. And we want your children to know Him and to know that He loves them and to know that He can save them. And we want to partner with you to do it. We want to join hands with you to do that very thing, to provide these glorious pathways, to provide the Word of God into their lives. We want to strengthen families. We want to pray and pray and pray with you and pray for you so the children can know Christ. You say children are the most important people in the church because they're the future of the church. I'm not sure I buy that actually. I get it. I know why people say it, and it's true. It's true as far as it goes. I don't want to lay that at the feet of children, that they are the most important, that no one else matters. Of course they do. Everybody matters. Everybody does. But certainly children are significant, and Jesus demonstrates in this very text that he wants to allow these children to come to him. Thirdly and finally is that children have something to say to us. Who knew that to make Allison Didier smile, all you had to do was give her a cup of coffee? Starbucks. Out of the mouth of babes, children have something to say to us. In their honesty, in their actions. Last evening was our Mother's Day dinner. And so not all the children could be there last evening. Some had other obligations. But our daughter, Lydia Grace, and her husband and their two children came. And I remember I looked and they're coming. We've got a big, if you've been in our home, we've got a big glass door in the front door that opens up to the house. And I see little Colin, and he's standing there with this huge grin on his face, and he's trying to get in the door. And finally, one of the parents, I forget who, reaches around and opens the door. And I go like, Colin! And what does he do? Flies right by me. Where is he going? Nana, Nana, Nana. What is Colin saying to me? Well, you love me like Nana does. Who calls me and FaceTimes me? I will last about 15 seconds, and then I feel like I'm trapped. I feel like I'm trapped on the phone. I've seen you do the wiggle squiggle dance 15 times, Colin. Enough. Who goes down and watches them when they're sick? I get a call, the kids are sick, can you come? Oh, I'm a pastor and I got a lot of stuff to do. I can't. But Connie, she can come. Kids have something to say to us. And in this text, Jesus says, let the children teach you something. What is it, Jesus? Well, they want to come to me. Let them come to me. As a lesson in that, there's no cob rolling. There's no pride that's going to stop them. They come to him. Don't hinder them. In other words, don't stop them from doing what they want to do and what the parents want to do. And you must become like this child. Well, what are you saying, Jesus? Not in their innocence, but in their dependency. They don't come feeling like they got to earn it. They're happy to receive the gift. They don't feel like they've got to impress me. They just got to receive the gift. The way our world works is you got to earn it, right? How much resentment was there for these parents that were buying their children's way into these Ivy League schools? We're like, wait a minute, that's not right. Those kids want to get to those schools, they need to get the grades and put their nose to the grindstone and get into school just like every other kid. They need to earn it. And we come to salvation in the kingdom of God and we have to eat our pride and recognize if we can't earn it, we can't buy it. It's grace, and grace becomes offensive because people that shouldn't be allowed into the kingdom are allowed into the kingdom, the broken and the sinful. They're allowed into the kingdom, not because they're broken and sinful, quite the opposite, because they experience the forgiveness and grace of God through Jesus, because they have nothing to bring, just as I am without one plea. He just sang it. But that thy blood was shed for me, The children come. They have nothing to offer Jesus in this text other than to wrap their arms around his neck and cast themselves upon him. And he says, you want to be in the kingdom? It's not the big and the powerful and the influential. It is the ones who come to me. They, you know, 1 Corinthians, not many wise, not being any influential. It's the broken. They get in. And we learn that lesson from children. They are the ones that can teach us. So understand, Jesus loves your children and your grandchildren. Knows them by name. That's what the Bible says. Understand that we want to partner with you to help your children know Jesus. To the degree that we can do that, that's what we want to do. And we need to think. We need to think in terms of how can we do that? What does that mean? What's the cost associated with that? Who knows? What do we need to build? What do we need to buy? What do we need to do? I don't know for sure. But we want to provide pipelines to Jesus. That's what we want. And we want to hear what Jesus is saying to us from these children. Come on Wednesday night sometime and sit down with these children. Here's the challenge. Come and learn five kids' names. Come and learn five, just five. And greet them every Wednesday night and ask the Lord before you come, Lord, teach me something from this kid. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. Let's pray. Stand with me. Please stand with me. Father, thank you for our children. And you keep blessing us. We don't take it lightly. You keep blessing us with children and babies. And we are humbled by that. Very humbled by it. And we feel a burden by it, a responsibility. We feel a joy, an elation by it. But we also feel this sense of burden that as a body of believers, and it's not just me, and it's not just Jessica, and it's not just the staff, all of us bear this burden, this responsibility to teach and to encourage and to love. Father, I pray that you would help us forever to overcome the lie of the enemy that says, oh, I'm just an old person. Those kids aren't interested in me. Help us instead to be compelled by love and to offer grace and love to the children. Being a parent's hard work. Some are single parents. They're doing it all on their own. I pray that you would bless and encourage them. Some moms will go home and they're going to get naps this afternoon. And they're going to get taken to a wonderful restaurant and they're going to be honored. And some moms will go home with their kids. And today's going to be hard and tough. Bless them and encourage them. May your strength be known to them. Help us as a body of believers to find ways in which we can strengthen and encourage families and singles. Give us wisdom, we pray. Help us to be filled with the Spirit. Motivated by the love of Christ and clear about the gospel. Dismiss us now with your favor, we would ask, in Jesus' name.